Hey everyone, Tuesday, October 3rd. My name's Will. I'm running through today's morning brief. Look at performance from some of the major areas. Yesterday, a bit of a deceptive day of market action. I'll unpack a bit later, but the NASDAQ composite, 70 basis points, really just bouncing out of oversold territory. US dollar had one of its strongest days on record, or at least in recent record, up 60 basis points. S&P 500 late afternoon rally gave it a 1 basis point gain. On the downside, you saw crude oil meet some resistance, fell over 2%. Long duration bonds continuing to suffer with rates breaking out. TLT was down 2%. Russell 2000 was down 1.6%. So note a pretty big performance disparity between small caps and large caps yesterday. Russell 2000 is also now negative year to date. You'll see right here with a loss of 25 basis points. I want to start though with EFA. The dollar, like I said, had a great day yesterday. That's really been hurting international equities. EFA has been an example of that. Fund score has continued to weaken. We're approaching the bottom of the trading band here, and that 67 area of support will likely be pretty important. You also may have gotten an alert this morning that EFA reversed down into O's on its relative strength chart against money market. So that tells us EFA's had about a 10% pullback relative to cash. I talked about fixed income a bit in the opening. Longer duration bond funds, AGG, TLT being, I would say, one of those. 0.24 fund score, one of the lowest you've ever seen. It has now, as of yesterday, matched the October 2022 low at 93.25. That's also the bottom of the trading band. A bounce again looks likely based off objectivity and statistics here. Could go lower, of course, that has been the trend lately, but I did want to highlight pretty key area of support for the ag. TLT, a more extreme story. We are now officially at the June 2009, April 2010 lows at 88. 86 would take both of those out and put the fund at its lowest levels in really 15 plus years. So again, just an extreme amount of pain for long duration bonds right here, continuing to kind of defy probabilities. As I said, this is a painful example of things can remain irrational longer than you can remain solvent. Shorter duration bond funds, though, SHY is an example, have not been as detrimental to own. Recently had a bearish triangle, but still above the March 23 lows. You'll also see slightly better fund score of 2.1. So not something we're overly excited about, but on a relative basis, looks to be holding up a bit better. Gold also been, I think, struggling with higher rates. I've talked about this for a while now. We didn't like the picture of gold that's continued to play out, not necessarily because of it's a macro defensive hedge, but because of the pace of interest rates rising. And I think that's been the main story here. Gold now just with a 50 basis point gain on the year, huge comma those at the bottom of its trading band, maybe looking to pick up some support as well in that 1810, 1820 area. But overall, still a weak picture. You could see a bounce, but the downtrend still looks to be intact for gold and precious metals. The story there being real yields. So rising interest rates outpacing inflation are typically a headwind for precious metals, which really don't have any income tied to them. Russell 2000 was the bottom of our leaderboard. I mentioned that it's now negative on the year. It's approaching a, I would say, a pretty key area of support. The closer we get to 17,000, I think that stronger that support becomes. So all the way from 17,000 up to about 1740, where we are now, I would expect the bulls to start to defend that area. Like most other charts I mentioned this morning, it is towards the bottom of its trading band. So it is becoming increasingly likely as well that you have that upside bounce. Of course, the timing is difficult for that, but we do see the probability increasing, especially as we get closer to that 17,000 level. And yesterday's Were You Aware? I also want to talk about the S&P 500. It's been oversold as well. I wouldn't say washed out, but oversold for sure. This was a snippet of the 50-point chart, but we also noticed that the weekly momentum has been negative for 10 consecutive weeks. So that's a fancy way of saying that a short-term weekly moving average has been below a longer-term weekly moving average for 10 consecutive weeks. It's pretty rare, as we put in the table here. I believe it's only 11 other times since 1957 that we've seen this happen. More often than not, you're positive especially in that 2 week, 1 month, 3 month camp. Two prints in the 70s were both negative, so people have drawn some parallels to that and make of it what you want. But overall, typically when the market reaches this oversold level, you do see some type of recovery. Also acknowledging we are in the month of October. This was a feature from several weeks ago at the end of September, talking about some of the tendencies for October. I like this graphic. This is the October performance brackets. It's October's been dubbed the bear killer, meaning that a lot of pretty major market bottoms have occurred in October, although you've also seen some prehistoric market meltdowns in the month of October. More often than not, though, October has been positive, and you can see the buckets here. The most popular range is 2.5% to 5%, which will be, I think, a really welcomed run for the market should that happen this month. Seasonality is in our favor now. This was a chart that just kind of confirmed some of our research. This was by Bespoke on Twitter. I guess it's called X now. Who knows? Months when the 5% pullbacks had ended, 1945 through 2023. Here's October. So 33 5% S&P 500 pullbacks have ended in the month of October. So again, seasonality hopefully is going to be our friend as we go further into the month. A lot of thoughts this morning. I was talking fast. Appreciate the time. If you have any questions, don't hesitate to reach out. Otherwise, I'll be on again tomorrow morning.